empty next to you or behind you or in front of you? Say, it is my responsibility to fill it. So I want you to call your brothers and sisters, which I did myself, and they're here, yay. Call your mom and dad, co-workers. I want you to invite them, okay? I want you to fill the chairs up. You know, one thing that Benjamin and I really shared about and really is excited about in the season is, you know what we realized after 12 and a half years of pastoring Living Hope? That we have grace for 200. And that's a good grace. I think for past 7 years, we tried so hard to break through 300. You know, every time we break through 300, something happens, go back to 200. We break through 300, go back to 200. But I feel like God was saying, celebrate the 200. And so we told Krista and Mickey and the SF team, once you hit 200, which will happen very fast, we said, you better raise up another team and send them out. Right? So you and I, let's fill these chairs up and send another team out. Yeah? Yeah. Amen. I want you to open your Bible to Romans 4:18 and then Joshua 3:6. Romans 4:18 and Joshua 3:6. You there? Almost? Okay, Romans 4:18, it says, against all hope. Everybody say, against all hope. Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Joshua 3:6, then Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the ark of the covenant and cross over. Everybody say cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've been speaking to us about who we are in Christ. God, that you've been teaching us, God, that our internal reality becomes external reality. That whatever you give us, whatever we possess, that we get to give it away, God. God, whatever we've gone through and overcome, it's prophetic. And you've given us kingdom authority to release it in others. So, Father, as you speak to us today, will you strengthen and empower your sons and daughters not to allow where they are to define who they are, but on the other hand, to define where they are through who they are in you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, you know what I've been realizing? So many sons and daughters of God, we define who we are through where we are. If you're going through some struggles and isolation, loneliness, you think that's who you are. You think you're not valuable. You think you're insignificant. But that's not the way we're supposed to live. You're not supposed to allow where you are, because in life, you're going to walk through highs and lows. You're never going to jump from top of the mountain to the top of the mountain. In this life, huh? You will walk through some tribulations. But where you are should never, never, everybody say never. Never, never define who you are. But if you truly allow who you are to define where you are, it doesn't matter whether in the valley or up on the top. You see it through God's perspective, and you are never discouraged, and you walk in victory. Ask your neighbor, do you know who you are? You are a man of faith. You are a woman of faith. You are powerful. Amen? So Benjamin didn't tell me that I was going to preach today. So Benjamin was supposed to preach, but he felt that in the later week of this week, he felt really strong. You know what? First Sunday, I got to be at SF, right? So I was like, so Sonny, you preach. And so I'm like, okay. And so, you know, the way I decide what to preach is the prophetic word that God's been speaking to me about where we are as a house. And you know what's crazy was this week, Adriana, is she here? Are you here, Adriana? Adriana came over and she shared about this prophetic dream that she had back in 2012 before she even joined Living Hope. I think she joined Living Hope last year. She had this dream back in 2012, okay? Right when she was living in like Davis, okay? And more as she started to get to know Living Hope, she realized this dream that I had 4 years ago, it was for Living Hope. It was about Living Hope. And she shared with me. And the dream that she shared with me, it's like my spirit's like, yes, that's like that goes along with prophetic visions and the dreams that God has given to this house. So I'm going to tell you about that dream. You want to hear about that dream? Because that dream shows where we've been and where we're going and who we are. Okay? So back in 2012, she had this dream. All she saw was, she knew it was Bay Area. And in the Bay Area, there was this muddy river. And she said some group of people were crossing this muddy river. And she thought to herself, why are they doing that? It's so dangerous. They're getting dirty. What's the use? There's no purpose in cross walking through and crossing through this dangerous muddy river. What are they doing? But then more and more people were crossing this muddy river. And as they crossed over, they start to climb the telephone poles. But then these telephone poles were so high that it reached the heavens. And this group of people in the Bay Area who just crossed this muddy river started to climb this telephone pole way up high. And then they start to line up along the electrical cord. And she was thinking, stop! What are you doing? It's not strong enough to hold all of you guys on there. Get off! Get off! But then what she realized was the more people got on it, the stronger the cord got. And she's like, wow. And then pretty soon, she decided to cross over. And she decided to climb the pole. And when she climbed the pole, she looked down and she saw this woman. And for some reason, she asked, hey, do you still contact the psychics or something like that, right? And then she's like, yes, that's the only way to live around here. And then when she heard that, she got this like holy anger. It's like, what? And she was thinking, wow, how am I going to help them realize that's a lie? And she felt so frustrated. She's like, that's not true. But how am I going to help them? How do I set them free? And then she said her mother entered the picture. And a lot of times when she dreams about her mother, it represents the Holy Spirit. And the mother said, you cannot do it in your human strength. The only way is the presence of God. Power of God through your prayer. And then all of a sudden she looked down. More people were crossing. But then when she looked down, the river wasn't muddy anymore. It was crystal clear. Crystal clear water, and more from not just from Davis, but from all over the world, they start to cross this crystal clear water, climbing up and standing on top. Man, isn't that so powerful? Keep that in your mind. I'm going to share a couple of more visions and dreams, and you may wonder, where are you going at? I promise you it will all make sense at the end. Okay? So, one of the vision that we started Living Hope with back in 2004 is while Benjamin was in East Coast, right, studying for his PhD, I was here leading Friday night prayer. Back in Virginia, Benjamin was so spiritually frustrated that she grabbed a friend and said, can you please come with me and pray with me? So he went into the prayer room and he started to pray out of frustration. God, I feel like a log that just won't catch fire. And he sees in the vision a log, and you throw some, like, what is that? Like lighter fuel, and you light the match, and but then it quickly dies out, and then the log didn't catch fire. And he keeps seeing that. It's like, God, I'm the log that just won't catch fire. God, set me ablaze. God, let me, come on. Like, he was just frustrated, and he couldn't break through. He said he was there 2-3 hours. He just could not break through. At the same time, I'm leading Friday night prayer, and as we're praying, I see a log in my vision. And in my vision, this log just won't catch fire. I saw the same vision, and I led our people to just pray. Come on, let's pray for God to send fire. Come on, fire. We're praying. And then this is what God said, Sonny, look carefully. Look more intently. And as I look, it's like I had this x-ray, x-ray vision. And I looked, and inside of the log, there was already a fire. Going back and forth. Back and forth, just inside. And this is what God said, Sonny, I have called Living Hope to be a lasting fire. You see, the log that catches fire fast, the fire dies fast. But you are to be a lasting fire for my kingdom. And then all of a sudden, the log caught big fire. And then I saw from all corners of the earth, little sticks coming, getting the fire and going back to the ends of the earth. So I was like, wow, that's powerful. And then Benjamin calls and he's like frustrated. I was praying he's like, I felt like a log that just won't catch fire. And then I shared the vision. He's like, whoa, he was so encouraged and empowered, right? Okay, what is this? Okay, so that's dream. That's vision number one, okay? Vision number two, one of our church members back in, I think, 2007 had a vision that Living Hope were walking on a street, okay? People started to join. Our numbers grew. And then all of a sudden, darkness came over. And as we walked through the darkness, people started to leave. And the deeper we went, thicker the darkness became. And then the numbers became very few. But the few did not stop moving forward. And as we moved forward, we saw the light at the end of the tunnel. And the closer we got, people started to join again. And we walked right into the light. And the brightness, the light overtook us. And we just became one with the light. Okay? Keep that in mind. Okay? Now, where we've been as a house, we have been crossing the muddy river, okay? When you walk through, when you're crossing over some muddy river, one thing that you have to remember is that you are not muddy. You hear me? The river that you're crossing is muddy, but you, as a child of God, are not muddy. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 6, Joshua, okay, spoke to the priests saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. Everybody say cross over before the people. Okay? Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And, Adriana shared that the only reason why these group of people were able to cross the muddy river was their love for God and their love for one another. Okay? Muddy river. Okay? The only way you could walk through any muddy river seasons of your life is presence of God. Without the presence of God, you're going to allow the muddy river to just take over. And then it says, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. When you and I cross the muddy river. It's not just us going from wilderness to the promised land. It's not just us breaking through just for ourselves from going from A to B. We are making a way. Because you and I walk through the muddy river, those coming after us will be able to walk through a crystal clear, refreshing, cleansing water. You hear me? We are making a way. We are clearing the path. We are crossing over, turning mud into a crystal clear water. Your season of crossing the muddy river is not in vain. Imagine mud. What does that represent? Dirty, hard, struggle, discouragement, immaturity, right? A lot of times, you know, if you can't see what's ahead of you and what's behind of you, all you see, it is this muddy river that you're just crossing. And when you don't see through God's perspective, you lose why you're even there. Why the heck am I here? What is the use of walking through this muddy river? How have I displeased you, God? What did I do wrong? Are you punishing me? And people just get out of the muddy river. There's purpose and power behind you walking through some muddy seasons. Now, crystal clear water. Just hearing that crystal clear, doesn't that just sound refreshing? Cleansing? Easy grace? Maturity? Right? I mean, you and I have the power to turn muddy water into crystal clear water. You know what's crazy was last Friday was our night watch. And during our night watch, one of the things that God gave a new promise was, I am sending a refreshing spirit to refresh my people in this next season. It's like I saw all these downcast souls and faces and just struggling faces. And then God showed me this wind of refreshing coming, and then joy being renewed and strength being renewed. And it's like, time of refreshing is coming, Sonny. That you and I have given the opportunity to turn mud into water. To turn darkness into light. To provide fire for those logs that just won't catch fire. Are you ready? The thing is this. We are at the end of that muddy season. So many of us during that season get tempted to give up. What's the use? What's the use? So how do we not allow where we are to define who we are? How? You must see through His perspectives. And when you are able to see through His perspectives, see first through His perspective, and you then have to let your words agree with God. Okay? See through His perspective and speak and agree with what God is saying. You have to allow your actions and your words to agree with what God is saying in this final season of crossing. Okay? How? Everybody say decree. You get to partner with God in this season. Okay? You get to partner with God in manifesting what He has promised to this house, to your family, and to the whole body of Jesus Christ. Amen? If you look at Romans chapter 4:18, Benjamin shared this with us during our Wednesday staff meeting, and it was so powerful. I have to share it with you. Okay? Romans 4:18, against all hope. Everybody say, against all hope. Against all hope. Abraham in hope believed. Okay? When we agree with God, we can believe against all hope. But Pastor, you don't understand. I've been here for 10 years. Are you sure? Abraham believed against all hope when he couldn't see, when it didn't manifest year after year after year. Against all hope, Abraham believed. We also, like Abraham, against all hope, believe in order for us to partner with God to manifest the promises of God. That's why Abraham is called the father of faith. So many people get disillusioned. I prayed for that for 5 years. I prayed for that for 10 years. He never answered my prayer. And you get disillusioned. But you know what? You may say to Benjamin and I, you keep believing for that revival and that breakthrough every year after year after year. Wake up, Pastor. You're in denial. You may say that to us. Not you. Somebody. Some people out there. But you and I, know not one of us ever think of Abraham as somebody who was in denial. Do you? Do you remember Abraham as someone in disillusionment or denial? No. We remember him as a father of faith. Why? Because he didn't see, but he still believed. But I've been waiting so long. So did Abraham. That's why he's called the father of faith. You know, our missions department, we come every Sunday at 10 a.m. to hear God through the word of God. Every Sunday. And we hear God and we pray. And one of the things that Jason shared was, you know what? We know how to wait, but how many of us really wait on the Lord? Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen you. But how many of us really wait on the Lord? Here, let me come down, right? How many of us? Because waiting on the Lord, even though it seems so frustrating sometimes, I'm free. We get so tired of waiting, don't we? Sometimes doesn't it feel like a curse when you've been waiting and waiting and waiting? Sometimes God had lifted his favor off of your life because you've been waiting and believing for the same thing for past 20 years. But the scripture says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. It says, wait on the Lord, I say. Wait, for he shall strengthen you. You know why God allows you to wait? Not because you don't have faith. Not because you don't have his favor. Because he wants to strengthen you. He wants you to become the sons and daughters of Abraham. The longer you wait and you continue to believe, our responsibility is believing when it is hard. It's so much easier. You know, when the blind sees. Do you believe? Yeah. When God releases financial breakthrough, do you believe? Yeah. When that handsome man finally asks you out, do you believe? Yeah. When your son or daughter finally come to you and say, I love Jesus, I gave my life to Jesus, do you believe? Yeah. That just comes. It's like breathing air. It's like opening your eyes when you're awakened. You know, you just open your eyes. Oh, it's the morning. But our job, our responsibility is when it is hard to believe, that you believe. Even if it took 10 years and you haven't seen it, that you still stand up and say, God, I believe. That is your responsibility. That is my responsibility as a child of God. Bill Johnson said that when God answers your prayer, he just does it. But when he answers your prayer with another promise, and another promise, and another promise, You know what God is saying? When he answers your prayers through his more promises, he's inviting you to partner with God. And so every time God answers your prayer with his promise, then you are to partner with God in agreeing with your words what God is saying to you. Decreeing, agreeing with God. Living Hope, whether you've been here 10 years or this is your first Sunday, we are a prophetic house. That's who we are. Just like I shared earlier, if you think about it, Benjamin and I, we're nothing apart from God. If God doesn't move, But you know what? One thing we know how is to be led by him, is to follow his leading. It was the Spirit of God that led us to Emeryville. And when year after year after year, people are saying, you have to leave Emeryville. Up until last year, we had to stand our ground. It was the Spirit of God that told us from day one, you are to be a mission-centered church. Do not wait until you are established to do missions. You don't know how many large church pastors have judged us, saying, that's why you're not growing. But you know what we say? I understand. That makes perfectly good sense to wait. But you know what? Success to us is obedience to God, not in numbers. Amen? So we obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we will always be led. You know, even with our not finding our building, there are other pastors that say, just make the decision. What are you guys doing? Just look for it. Just make the decision and do it. And we're like, we would love to. If God tells us to. Seriously. If we could make it happen, we would have done it 7 months ago. But one thing we told our staff is, can you see God there? Can you see God in that building? Can you see God? Let's wait on the Lord. One thing the enemy attacks a prophetic house is this, remember, is to tempt us with hopelessness and discouragement. That's why so many of you in different stages of your journey here, you've been hit with hopelessness and discouragement. You know, look to your neighbor and say, request denied. One more time. The other neighbor, request denied. The enemy is always requesting an access to your thoughts, requesting to get your attention, requesting to control your emotions and your interpretations of your situations, wanting to define who you are by where you are. The enemy is always requesting an access. And this is what Bill Johnson said in Strengthening Yourself in the Lord in his book. This is what he said. When the devil puts a request for attention across my desk, I say, request denied. This is Bill Johnson. I am aware that there are situations constantly, everybody say constantly, around me that if I'm not careful can bring me into discouragement. The only thing Abraham in the promised land was the promise of God. That's it. When we are going through some hopeless situations, the enemy tempts us to take matters into our own hand. Let's download that app. Let's meet some other men and women here. I'm not against it, but all I'm saying is, did God tell you to do it? To take control with human wisdom, with human strength. This is what Benjamin told us on Wednesday. It like totally woke us up. If you take things into your own matter, guess what? Then you stop relying on God. See, Abraham, during famine, his flesh, his own human thinking, led him to Egypt. And once he got to Egypt, now he had to sustain that season by his own power. And so when he felt threatened, he lied. Sarah is my sister. But if we move by the Spirit, then we can rely on the Spirit in the midst of the famine. You understand? You take things into your own hand, guess what? You're on your own. You got to sustain it yourself now. You stop. Once you take it by your own hand, you stop relying on the Holy Spirit. And it's in your hand. You got to sustain it on your own. Do not start in the Spirit and finish in your flesh. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. What does it say? Are you so foolish? Ask your neighbor. Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? This is what Benjamin told us. You know what? In this day and age, people are looking for leaders who walk in faith without weakening their faith in the midst of struggle, in the midst of famine. Not wavering in faith, but understanding that when it's hard to believe and you choose to believe and you wait on the Lord, guess what? That's when you get strengthened. When you live for God's glory, then his glory comes and takes over and says, you are my responsibility. I must sustain you in the midst of this season. Living Hope, God called you to be the leaders of faith. I don't care if you're a pastor or a community group leader or just a member or even just the attender. You are called by God to be his leaders of faith. You may be going through some muddy season, but people are watching. Your sons and daughters are watching. Your friends are watching. Your coworkers are watching. People are watching, and they are in desperate need of you to walk in faith and not waver in your faith. Not give in to discouragement. Not allowing where you are to define who you are. The enemy always tempts us to make it on our own power. Well, you didn't. Come on, it's because you're lazy. You're not responsible. But even if you do make it on your own, let's say you did. You gave all you got, and you crossed the muddy river on your own. Then you're going to have to sustain it on your own. Who wants that? Not me either. You must deny the enemy's request for access to your thoughts, to your emotions. The worst time to make any kind of decision is when you're discouraged. Come on. We all go through some discouragement. Moments, right? I go through it. Benjamin goes through it. Pastor Daniels goes through it. Everybody goes through some discouraging seasons. But that is not where you have to make decisions. I'm so discouraged, I'm leaving church. I'm so discouraged, I'm going to quit my job. I'm so discouraged about my love life, I'm going to join. Caroline is my preaching partner right here. The worst time, come on, hear me please. The worst time to make any decision is when you're discouraged. Because if you're discouraged, you've already gave an access to the enemy. And you are allowing the enemy to lead you walk in your flesh. This is what Benjamin said. You could quote this and put it on Facebook. He said, the quality of our leadership will always be determined by the state of our faith. Did you hear that? And let me say it again. The quality of our leadership, because God called you to be a leader of faith, right? You're all leaders, okay? The quality of your leadership will always be determined by the state of your faith. It is your responsibility to inspire the people of God to believe. To be representative that God is trustworthy. Believe in God regardless of what came or went. That you are declaring by believing against all hope that God is good and he is trustworthy. Even if the promises linger a decade, we could still stand and say, we still believe. I still believe. Are you able to say that? God is giving you and I in this season an opportunity, a kingdom opportunity to turn some muddy rivers into some crystal clear water. To turn the river of unbelief to faith, to turn the river of impossibility to possibility. To finish well. Don't you want to finish well? God is saying, you're almost there. Don't give up. Hold on. Against all hope, believe. Finish well, sons and daughters of God. Let's remember the dreams and the vision that God has given to this house. How do we finish well? We must agree with what God is saying. Your words have to agree with what God is saying. Your lips must agree with what the Lord is saying to you and to this house in this season. Your actions must agree with what God is saying. Every commandment of the Lord is to take you into the promised land. Is to take you to the other side of the river. To take you into the abundance. To take you into your kingdom strength. To make you a leader of faith. Obedience is our food. Everybody say obedience. To obey him is to believe when it is hard. When it is hard, to believe. That's obedience. God will give us strength for this journey of faith as you obey day by day by believing when it is hard. Obedience strengthens us. I remember back, this is before we even started Living Hope. We were back at Faith Fellowship, and during staff prayer, we got into a big fight on the way to staff prayer. Usually we sit side by side, seeking the face of God. I was so mad at him. I was so hurt and disgusted. Now Benjamin went to the front praying on his knees. I sat way in the back. I couldn't even pray, guys. So the only thing I knew how to do was open my Bible because I couldn't pray. I was so mad because, you know, I'm not going to be fake, right? So I opened my Bible to John chapter 4 because that was my chapter for that day for my daily QT. And then there God started to speak to me. When God spoke to Samaritan woman, and then the disciples came back with food and they're like, oh, Jesus, here, eat some food. And what did Jesus say? I have food that you do not know of, which is to do the will of God, which is to obey. And in that moment, the Spirit of God was convicting me and speaking to me about forgiveness. And so that was beginning of our marriage. So now I'm pretty good at it. I'm pretty good at saying sorry. I'm pretty good at, like, reaching out to him first. But first, like, 10 years of our marriage, I just couldn't be the first one. Wives, you understand what I'm talking about? All right? It's like, even if I did wrong, if you want something, you better come, like, right? You better humble yourself, husband, right? So in the beginning of our marriage, I never said sorry. I never, like, reached out first. But I felt like God was saying, you got to eat your food. You got to obey. I gave you my word. Are you going to skip your meal or are you going to eat your food? And I had to swallow my pride. I got up. I walked slowly to the front. Every step, you don't understand the force of opposition, the resistance that I felt in my flesh, where I would rather die than to take these steps forward. I'm not kidding. I took those steps. And I went. And then when I went, he looked up with his puppy eyes. And then I just went like this. When I just went like this, he grabbed my hand. He pulled me down. And he just hugged me, and we started to pray together. And I thought, this isn't so bad. Thank God, Benjamin. What if he looked at me and was like, what do you want? Oh, my goodness. But you know what? That strengthened me so much. More than, like, going to a revival and getting prayed and, you know, pouring oil upon my... That strengthened me in my spirit so much. And, you know, first 2 years of our Living Hope existence, you know, church planting team, you know, we were going through a lot. And a lot of times, sometimes we're discouraged and we just sit on the couch and it's like, oh, how are you? Okay, how are you? Just look at each other. A lot of times we turn on the TV and just veg, right? On Mondays, just veg day, Monday. But in that moment, Benjamin turned the TV off and he grabbed my hand. He said, let's go. I'm like, where? I'm tired. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to go anywhere. It's like, let's go. We're too weak right now. We need to get strengthened. Where are we going? And you know, he drove us to the children's hospital here. And he's like, you know what? We got to find opportunity to obey God right now because we need strength. Can I tell you the truth? In my heart, I didn't want to do it. I was so close to saying, why don't you go do it by yourself? I'll pray for you and I'll wait for you at home as I watch some Korean videos. I was so close. But then he didn't give me a chance to say no. He didn't ask me. He just grabbed my hand. He just put me in the car. And then he took me out. And the first person we saw, and I'm thinking, how in the world are we doing this? Like, hi, we are the pastors from a local church around the corner. Can we pray for you? And people are like, sure. And I was shocked. At the end, a few hours later, we were in ICU praying for babies. And then we walked out like so strong and so excited and so happy. Obedience strengthens you. Obedience is our spiritual food. The key is this. Okay. I want you to lean, if you are able, if it allows, lean on somebody's shoulder right now. If you're a boy and girl, you don't feel comfortable, lean on somebody. Come on. Doesn't that feel good? Huh? Just sometimes we just need a shoulder to lean on. Just, you know, like, touch is one of my love language too. And so, you know, people are like, oh, I only like touch from people I love. I'm like, really? Sometimes I'm in the public and sometimes I don't even know them. I just want to lean on them. I do. I have to fight that desire to lean on strangers, because in that moment I just needed a shoulder to lean on. Right? Doesn't that feel good? Just lean. Sometimes when you feel weak, sometimes you need to just intentionally, consciously lean into God's presence. Just lean into His voice. Just lean on His promises. Just lean upon your God. Because when you do, He will give you strength to cross that muddy river. When you lean into His voice, He will speak. And He will say, "My daughter, you're so beautiful. You're so powerful. There's purpose and power to crossing this." And as you hear, lean and hear, you agree. You agree with His words. "I am strong. There's purpose to me crossing this." As you agree with your words, with what God is saying to you and to your situations and to this house, not only is God going to strengthen you, but He's going to partner with you in manifesting His promises. Say what He says. Believe what He says. Do what He says. Not your fleshly desire. Not what the enemy is saying. Not what the world is saying. Don't let your mouth speak what the enemy wants you to speak. Do not allow what you're going through to define your value. Don't let what is outside to define what is inside of you. You must define what is outside of you through what is inside of you. You must see where you are through who you are. What is God saying about where you are? What is God saying about who you are? In this season, this final season of crossing this muddy river, your lips must agree with what God is saying. You see, whoever you listen to will either strengthen you or discourage you. Okay? If you have been discouraged lately, then you have been listening to the wrong voice. You've been leaning on the wrong person. You have allowed access to the enemy. You have allowed where you are to define who you are. Let us finish well. Living Hopers, can we finish well? Let us finish well in this final season of crossing this muddy river. Us crossing is going to change that muddy river into crystal clear, refreshing water of the Holy Spirit. I want you to stand up in His presence. If I could have somebody playing the guitar, the worship team back, I want you to close your eyes. Come on, lean into His voice. Come on, lean into His presence right now. Intentionally lean. What is the Lord saying to you? Listen. Shh. Listen. What is the Lord saying? Listen. What is He saying about where you are? What is He saying about who you are? Listen. Will you believe those words? Will you believe it? I don't care what is coming against what God is saying to you right now. Against all hope, will you believe? Right now, ask Him for His perspectives in your life. What is He saying? Holy Spirit, right now, as your sons and daughters are leaning into your voice, will you speak to them? The Rema words, the spoken word for each one of them. Will you speak to them about where they are, God? Will you give your sons and daughters your perspective of where they are and who they are, God? And as they hear your voice, will you empower them, God, to agree, to say what you say, to believe what you say, to believe against all hope. If you're hearing, I want you to open your mouths and decree it. Come on. What is he saying about where you are? What is he saying about who you are? Come on. Say it out loud. Come on. Agree with God. Come on. Partner with God. In this season, in this final season of crossing the muddy river, God is saying, partner with me, son, daughter, partner with me. Hear what I'm saying and agree with what I'm saying. Say what I'm saying. Decree. Decree, declare what I'm saying over you. You say it. Come on. Open your mouth. Say it. Believe it. Do it. Jesus. Come on. Ask him. Ask him. God, how can I obey you? God, how can I partner with you in this season, God? What should I decree, God? Come on. Ask him. When you ask, he will answer. He will speak. You know, lately, Benjamin and I've been decreeing every day. We've been declaring buildings in the name of Jesus. Personally, we've been decreeing a house. We've been decreeing revival. We've been decreeing healing upon the bodies of our living hopers. We've been out loud agreeing with God over your lives. Come on, agree with God. What is it saying? What is God saying to you right now? What is he saying about where you are? Come on, agree with God. Come on, ask him to open your eyes to see what he sees. Come on, speak what he says. Speak what he says. Sons and daughters, right now, your job is to agree with God. God is saying, your responsibility as my son and as my daughter is to say what I say. Come on, agree with me, the Lord is saying. Come on, say it. Say it. Whatever he's saying, say it right now. Over your marriage, over your family, over your situations, over this house. Come on. Come on. Decree what God is saying right now. Holy Spirit, come. Stir up the faith that you already given to us, God. That you would empower your sons and daughters to rise, to pick up that faith, to pick up that hope again, God. To against all hope, to believe you, God. To agree with you, God. I want you to hold your neighbor's hand. Come on, pray. Pray strength over their journey right now. Come on. You pray for their journey. Come on, declare. You're going to cross over this muddy river in power and strength. You're going to hear what God is saying to you. You're going to decree what God is saying. There's purpose and power to your journey right now. Come on. Pray for strength. Come on. Release strength over your brothers and sisters right now. Yes. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, worship Him. Worship Him right now. Hear the word of your Father. He says, lean on me and I will sustain you. I will strengthen you to finish well. I will empower you to turn the muddy river into crystal clear water. That you're making a way for others. You're making a way. God is saying, I have called you. I have chosen you. Living Hope sons and daughters, I have chosen you to be the leaders of faith in this generation. Lean on me, the Lord says. Lean into my voice. Lean into my presence, for I will speak. Agree with me. Let your words agree with my words in this season. I am inviting you to partner with me to manifest the things that I have promised you. Amen. Look at me. I'm going to give you homework. Today, I want you to go home. If you're married, do it with your spouse. If you're single, do it by yourself with Jesus. I want you to write down the promises of God that you haven't seen yet. List it one by one in detail. Your homework today, before you go to bed, list the promise. If you've done it, do it again. List it. And then throughout this week, every day, decree it. Declare it. God is saying, agree with me. Can you do that? Can you do it? I want you to go in power. Knowing who you are will define where you are. Amen? Amen. God bless you.